there. This is Carrie Schaefer, also known as author Carrie Ann King, and you are listening to Tell Me Your Secrets, where I get to take you off the page with the people who make the books we all love to read. Tell Me Your Secrets is produced from live stream video and is owned and copyrighted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Broadcasting Network. Hey, everybody. Carrie Schaefer, or Carrie Ann King, here today with Tell Me Your Secrets, which is owned and copyrighted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I am here today with another fantastic guest, and I'm going to introduce her to you real quick before I bring her on. So I'm here with Jody Millman, who is the author of The Midnight Call. This is a really pretty kind of creepy thriller with lots of thrills and chills and police procedural stuff. It has won a ton of awards. So this isn't even all of them. So it has won the 2020 Bronze Iffy Award from the Independent Book Publishers Association, third place there, Mainstream Fiction, Writer's Touch Reader's Award, Wisconsin RWA finalist, Best First Novel, 2020 National Reader's Choice Awards. It's Golden Quill Awards, Desert Rose, Clue Award, Best Police Procedural from Shanty Reviews. This book, for it's a debut, and has just absolutely done fantastically. And I can't wait to introduce you to Jody and to hear some of the stories about what is going on with this book and where the ideas came from. So I'm going to bring her on right now. Hi, Jody.
Hey, Carrie. How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you today. I completely, for those of you who know me, you'll not be surprised, had a space cadet moment yesterday, or earlier actually in the week, and I had rescheduled this and invited Jody to be here, well, yesterday, only I was thinking it was today. So she messaged me, she says, "I'm here, where are you?" I was like, "Not there."
I think we've all entered the time warp continuum. I mean, you know, nobody knows what day it is.
You know? I'm always in a
sweatpants 24/7, you know, so...
Absolutely. I live in a time warp continuum. It's normal for me. Time and I have a very strange relationship. And then my Viking, who used to be very good at time, he retired a couple of years ago. Now he's very delighted to never know what day it is. And so life is weird, but here you are, which is so absolutely awesome. So very first thing first, for those of you who are watching live, we want to see the cover. We love covers. So please, Jody, will you show us?
Here we are.
There it is.
The cover. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, there we go. Yes.
And it is. It all begins with a midnight call. So tell us about that just a little bit. What happens with this book?
The story is about a young woman. She's an attorney and she's 7 months pregnant. She's a corporate attorney and she gets a call from her mentor in the middle of the night. And the first words out of his mouth are, "I think I've killed someone."
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And from that moment on, she runs off to help him, and her life really spirals down the drain. I mean, she places her life in jeopardy, her career, her relationship, and even her unborn child out of loyalty to help her mentor.
Yeah.
So it's a thrill ride. It really is a thrill ride.
It is a thrill ride, and so many twists and turns. And you don't expect this from your mentor. It's, you know, your mentor is supposed to be the person who looks out for you, takes care of you. And
the underlying question is, was he evil, and was he a monster all along? And she didn't see it out of loyalty.
Right.
You know, or is this something that really, did he snap? I mean, was this something that was very recent?
Yes.
So it's a really interesting question as to, do we really know the people that are nearest and dearest to us?
Well, and it's a really good question, because you see that every time there's a serial killer, it's like all the neighbors are like, "But he seemed like such a nice boy.
Right. He was so quiet. We didn't even know he was in there slaughtering people. You know, we don't."
So, okay. I would love to have you read the first page for us. Sure. Don't stop in the middle of a sentence or something. You can go over to the end of the, you know, turn the page, finish the paragraph.
I'd be happy to do that.
Awesome.
Now, I want to point out the book is not a whodunit, because as you'll hear from the first line of the book, it's a why done it. Why do it? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is chapter one. I think I've killed someone, the man's voice whispered across the phone lines. Terrence? Jesse Martin's voice croaked husky with sleep. She'd know her mentor's voice anywhere, anytime, even in the middle of the night. In the pitch darkness, Jesse bolted upright in bed and blinked the sleep out of her eyes. What are you talking about? I've done a terrible thing, committed a sin against God, he said. The anguish in his voice made the fine hairs on her skin prickle with fear, and her hand flew up with a desire to protect the baby tumbling around inside her swollen belly. Yet it was the slow, quiet monotone of his voice that frightened Jesse even more than his confession. Her mentor was usually had a confident, intense voice that commanded attention. Tonight it was flat, as if he was no longer aware of reality. There's blood everywhere, Terrence's hollow voice cracked. He was just a boy, I don't know how it happened. Oh my God, what have I done? Nothing was making any sense. Terrence Butterfield, her mentor, her teacher, her friend, a killer? Impossible. But if what he said was true, the only way for her to help him was to remain cool and calm. She inhaled deeply to repress the panic, crushing her chest, and blew it out in a slow cleansing breath as she'd learned in Lamaze class. She turned toward Kyle's side of the bed, empty. She gripped his pillow with her fist. She'd find him in a moment. Terrence, how? What happened? Was there an accident? She tried to control the tremor in her voice. No, it was not an accident.
It doesn't sound like an accident.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
You have to read it to find out a little bit
you
more.
You have to read it to find out. But the thing that gets really complicated from right there is because Jessica is an attorney. So she immediately starts thinking, you know, as soon as she calms down a little bit, in lawyer thoughts, which you know all about because, Jody, you are actually an attorney.
I am, yes, an attorney for many, many, many years now. I just went back to my law school for our 40th graduation, you know, for our 40th reunion. So that's how long I've been an attorney.
So do you practice criminal law or are you in a different field?
No, I was a matrimonial litigator. I did divorces and I did family, you know, family court and custody. So I did a little bit of criminal. I mean, I didn't do major you know, I did, you know, parking tickets and speeding and a DWI here and there, but I didn't do, you know, murder trials.
Murder charges. Yeah. And yet you have told me that there is a story behind the story. So this is Jody's secret. And I really, really, I don't know this story yet, but I want to hear it. So tell us the goods about the story behind the story.
Well, it really starts back in 1969. Because I was in junior high school and we had a really charismatic teacher named Albert Fentress. And he was the type of guy that, you know, really related to the students. And, you know, like when you go back to visit your school, you go see certain teachers. He was one of those guys that kept in touch with us and that we would go back to see.
Yeah.
If you fast forward to 1979, when I graduated from law school, I come home, it's August, after I take the bar exam, I open up the Poughkeepsie Journal, which is our local paper, and splashed across the headline is teacher held in connection with student's death. And I scan down, and whose face was there? My world history teacher, Albert Fentress. And it really was a difficult situation for the community because he was so well-liked.
Sure.
It was difficult because, I mean, here I knew a killer. I mean, and the question that I asked myself and that I guess my classmates also continue to ask ourselves is what kind of jeopardy were we in during this time?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what made him snap in 1979 that didn't make him snap in 1969? So it was really an interesting situation. And also because it was the first case to hold that a defendant can make a request to be declared criminally unable, mentally unable to stand trial. Right. Usually that's left to a trier of fact, which is a judge or jury. Right. In this particular case, it was the first case in the United States where the actual defendant could make that request to the court.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so it's really a landmark case.
Yeah.
And what happened was he was held to be declared incompetent to stand trial, was placed into a psychiatric center where he remains to this day. But under the law, every 2 years he can make a request to be
get out.
So this case is constantly like rearing its very ugly head in our community. So it's really, and it's a story that haunted me, you know, from 1969 and haunted me.
Well, of course it did. It would change the way that you view the world. Like totally, you know, the for safety. Somebody that you trusted being capable of something like that be very unsettling.
So that's, you know, that's not a secret. It's kind of open knowledge, but it's the story behind the story. And it was one of this isn't, you know, a retelling of that story. What I did was I took that seed of a teacher who murders a student.
Right.
And then I took that and I created my characters and I kind of wrapped the whole story around that seedling and made it grow.
Right. Wow. And I guess, and the book did change in the writing as it should and as they do. But how fascinating that you were part of, you know, that whole landmark case. By the way, I have worked as a mental health crisis responder in Washington State. My job was to be the person who would say, hey, this person needs to be locked up because they're dangerous. The judges couldn't do it. Cops couldn't do it. Docs can't do it. Anyways, a lot of responsibility. And a lot of adrenaline. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to get into that right now. So a very interesting. Now, here's a fun, interesting fact that I didn't know. May 1st, May Day, has a whole different meaning for lawyers. And I don't know if the rest of you knew this, you win a prize, but Jody's going to tell us what May Day or the 1st of May is really, there's a special holiday for her there.
Well, there is. Well, May Day was started by Dwight Eisenhower to recognize how the impact that laws have had upon our life and to recognize that really that we are a country of laws. So one thing that I can tell people to do is that if they contact their local bar associations and they have questions, there should be banks of lawyers who are there to provide the free legal services for them on May Day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
now that is a secret.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a really cool thing. If you check your local bar association and let's say you've got a landlord tenant question or you have a copyright question or, you know, they won't give you, they'll point you in the right direction. You know what I mean? And they'll help you. So it's really a celebration of, as I see it, the Constitution of the United States, which is something I think we all hold near and dear to us.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I had never heard of this. So, you know, it's like one of those secrets, especially free legal advice is something that many of us are not going to pass up.
Exactly.
That's a very, very cool thing. Any other, let's see, anything happened for you, like as an attorney? I know there's confidentiality and privilege and all of that. Is there anything that you can tell us that was really surprising for you when you became a lawyer?
Well, I had a really kind of an interesting path to becoming a lawyer because I would say from the time I was 14, I wanted to become a lawyer. And the reason why, my grandfather was an attorney and I really admired him. And he was the oldest practicing attorney in the state of Maryland. And he was also an attorney who obtained a pardon, a presidential pardon from, I think it was Warren Harding. So we have kind of the law in our family.
Yeah.
But I got a summer job working as an intern in a law office. And I thought, gee, you know, I worked as a legal secretary. And I thought to myself, you know, why be a secretary when I can be a lawyer? So from the time that I was 14 and, you know, I'd read To Kill a Mockingbird and I fell in love with that and I fell in love with the law. So from that point on, I wanted to become a lawyer. I mean, I was very goal centric. And then when I went to law school, I'd also been involved, and this is a secret, I was a DJ.
Really?
In college, I was a DJ on our station in Syracuse University. And then also I was a professional DJ at WPDH here in Poughkeepsie, which is the home of rock and roll. And I wanted to go into entertainment law. So my third year of law school, I transferred from Syracuse Law School down to NYU, and I studied copyrights, trademarks, patents, what you would call IP law today. Uh-huh. And at that time, I graduated with 78, 79. And if anybody remembers, that's when the music industry tanked. So I kind of took the knowledge and information I had. I came back to Poughkeepsie, practiced law, and eventually had my own practice. And I was able to do publishing law and copyright law in addition to the matrimonial law that I told you about.
Right.
So I've had a very meandering path. And then in the early 2000s, I went back to school and I got my master's in English literature.
Oh, wow.
And my thesis was in law and literature. So I was able to combine my two interests, literature and the law. And then from then I went on to start writing first nonfiction and then fiction. Right. And The Midnight Call is my debut novel.
Yeah. And how, so is there another one in the works?
There's another one in the works. Yes. And it's out for submission to publishing houses. Okay. So I'm hopeful that maybe in 2022, we will see the quote, sequel to The Midnight Call.
I was wondering if there might be a sequel. Not to give anything away, but I just, you know, I finished the book and I was like, oh, I wonder.
Yeah, the last line is a zinger. I get a lot of I get a lot of comments about that. Like, why did you do that? Why didn't you just wrap it up? But I didn't. So the next book's a lot of fun. It's in a whole different direction.
Oh, well, good. I mean, it's always good to have something new, not that it needed to be in a new direction. I had to qualify that.
Well, the next one is about what I try to do is take local crimes in the Hudson Valley. Uh-huh. And again, I spin them. This next one is based upon or inspired by, we had a serial killer here in Poughkeepsie. And for over a period of 2 years, he was soliciting prostitutes, taking them back to his house and murdering them and burying them in his basement. So, and it turns out that he was soliciting them outside of my law office. So, so again, I have a tenuous personal connection to this one.
Yeah.
It was also very inspirational for the next book.
Wow. You've had a lot of kind of narrow escapes.
Yeah, I guess you can put it that way. Yeah.
Well, really, you know, that third degree thing of connection, you've just right. been kind of on the verge, which is awesome. But, you know, then you have a completely other side of your life. So I wanted to talk about this because I think this is fascinating. You do a podcast and your podcast doesn't have anything to do with the law and it doesn't have anything to do with literature. So tell us about that. What's it called and what is it?
Well, in Poughkeepsie, we have it's called the Bardavon 1869 Opera House. And it's the longest continuing operating venue in the United States. And I mean, it started, if you go back and historically look at this theater, you've had the Barrymores, you've had Frank Sinatra, you've had Bing Crosby, you've had, Mark Twain appear on the floorboards of this particular theater. Oh, and that's cool. Just in the old days. I mean, recently we had one of Aretha Franklin's last performances. We've had John Legend. We had Santana actually bring his Madison Square Garden show to the Bardavon.
How cool.
It's a 950 seat theater, which is absolutely fantastic. And so I would have to say about 2 years ago, I approached producing partner, Pat Watson, and I approached the Bardavon and said, look, you had this amazing history. Why don't we create a podcast? And what we'll do is we will interview you know, people who have appeared and people who will be appearing on the stage. So in the past 2 years, we've interviewed people like Mary Stuart Masterson, the actress and political activist. She appeared with the Hudson Valley Philharmonic. We've interviewed her. Mum and Chance, I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're kind of a mime puppet group out of Europe. John Hall of Orleans, Dandy Lewis, who is the lead singer for Government Mule. Morali Coriel. I mean, we've done 14 shows, and it's really been interesting. It's been challenging, as I'm sure it has been for you during the pandemic, because it's called Backstage with the Bardavon, and the whole idea is to interview people backstage at the Bardavon.
Right, right.
Nobody's at the Bardavon because it's been shut down because of the pandemic, and so people aren't performing. So we have been reaching out, you know, on Zoom to people, which has been a challenge, but also it adds an audio visual dimension to our program.
Yeah.
So it's been really fantastic. I mean, I was able to interview, there was a movie that came out on HBO, I think it was a year ago, and it was a documentary about the Apollo Theater, which is a very famous theater in Harlem. And it was called the Apollo Theater. And we were able to interview the producer, Lisa Cortez. And subsequently, that film went on to win an Emmy and be nominated for the Oscar last year.
Wow.
So it's just really incredible, the people that we've been able to you know, bring to a podcast from the Bardavon Theater.
How fun. So, and I assume we can find this podcast on Apple and all of
iTunes, the usual places. Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, Google. We've just added to iHeartMedia. So, and it's absolutely free. So, I mean, check us out. We do everything from, you know, rock to classical. I mean, it's just really a lot of fun.
How cool. And it's Backstage at the Bardavon, right?
B-A-R. With the Bardavon, yes.
Backstage with the Bardavon. B-A-R-D-A-V-O-N. I think I spelled it right, though.
So. Yes, you did. Yes.
All right. So look it up. Find the podcast. Where else can we find you? Where can your readers find you? I know we have your website, which is...
Yes.
JodySusanMillman.com. And if you're listening to the recorded version of this, that's spelled Jody is JodeSusan Millman, MillMan.com. And where else are you on the internet? Are you on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook at Jody Susan Millman. Okay. I am on Instagram at Jody Writes. And I mean, people can find me on Goodreads. They can find me on BookBub. They can also, if people are interested, I also am a reviewer for booktrip.com. They can find my book reviews on booktrip.com.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I'm busy and people can find me. And please, they can write me anytime through my website. And I do like contact with the fans, and I'm happy to write back.
Awesome. So go ahead and drop Jody a line. Remember, if you're listening, Jody is J-O-D-E, and there may or may not be an accent over that E. Sometimes you see it with and sometimes you see it without. But when you're searching her, look for her with J-O-D-E, not like with an I or something.
Right.
That's so awesome. And I'm excited that you have another book out there. And I can't wait, you know, to hear the good news that a publisher has picked it up. And
you and me both.
I know, it's always nerve-wracking for writers, and we've got our book babies out there looking for their new publishing home, but you know, now these days there's always the other option of putting it out yourself, and that can just be extremely rewarding as well. So there we go. I thank you so much for being here today. This was really fun. I love your stories. These are fascinating. I love watching things like Criminal Minds and, you know, those kind of shows. So I got into your book, and I love knowing that there's actually a kernel of a true story behind it.
Yes, there is. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun. And I want to thank you for having this program where you where people get to tell you their secrets. And it really is wonderful that you have, that you're promoting authors the way that you are.
Oh, thank you. It's fun for me. I love doing it. I love books. I want to see them all out in the world and help them find their readers. So thanks again for being here. This was really cool. I will be back next week again with another guest. So tune in and I will see you all then. Bye, everybody. Bye, Jody. Bye.